What? Thank you.
Which one?
Is that better? Okay. My handwriting's terrible. All right. You got Peace in the Rub that you guys all looked at, right? Yeah, it could be, right? All right. So what's the main point? What's the Rub's main point in Tosfos? What's he trying to say? Which I was trying to get that point across yesterday. What? No. I don't mean. No. Not Avera. Forget that. Before, what were we talking about yesterday?
Yesterday.
Right. In other words, Tosfos is saying. Remember, we're struggling with an issue. The issue we're struggling with. The real issue that we're struggling with is two discrete actions. Right. That's for sure. There's a difference between putting on Yad and Rosh. On the other hand, some of them are connected. And the struggle that everyone goes through with this sugya is, what's the nature of the relationship? How do you weigh out? How do you maintain some type of discrete separation between the actions, but at the same time somehow maintain that they're connected to each other? So what do the Rav want to say? Yeah. So that was the end. But that was the end of it. Before we get to that, though, let's take the first thing he says in Rabbeinu Tam. That was like the second point he makes. Right? And the first point is beautiful. Right. The first point is beautiful. The first point, what the Rav says, is a beautiful point. I mean, again, it's what I was trying to say yesterday, but he puts it even better, which is to say that there isn't the action of putting on your tefillin shel yad is completely different than the action of putting on tefillin shel rosh. So not only separate mitzvahs, but they're completely separate actions. How are they separate actions? I mean, it's a very intuitive idea, sort of. The action of putting on tefillin shel yad is to do what? To tighten, right? To fascinate. This is to make yourself adorned. I mean, by the way, that's why the rush held, and I actually do this. To adorn yourself in tefillin. To mitzvah shel roshi havias atfillin al rosh adam the hoso meutar bahem. Me'utar bahem, that he'll be adorned with them. To be adorned with tefillin.
He will be adorned to be adorned, so if tefillin popped out your head.
Well, I want to make sure that point is clear. Oh, by the way, so the rush holds, which it doesn't matter that I do this personally, but I do this personally. That's why the rush holds that the bracha of Oter Yisrael b'sifara, right? Well, okay, let me take a step back. Sorry, I made an assumption. My bad. I assume you guys all say Berachos HaShachar in shul. Other than you, who does not say Berachos and you? Who does not say, and you, who does not say Berachos HaShachar in shul? Meaning, who actually says it when you do the action? For instance, when you put your clothes on in the morning, what bracha are you supposed to say? Malbish Aramim, right? It's an interesting, very old custom, Gaonic custom. But it's interesting that the custom became that people make Berachos HaShachar in shul. But really, if you look at those brachas, right? Malbish Aramim means I'm putting on clothes. Oter Yisrael B'sifara, right? So the Rush maintained that since the crowning, the adorning of the tefillin, right, is the expression of adorning, of Oter, Atira, good, let's just take it in English and Hebrew, that's when he would make the bracha of Oter Yisrael B'sifara, which is what I do. I'm actually make the bracha of Oter Yisrael B'sifara when I actually put on my tefillin shel Rosh. Okay? Okay, not that matters. Okay. All right. Well, so I want to make sure that's clear. So Tosfos is saying what we were trying to say yesterday, and even the Rav is writing what Tosfos is saying in a beautiful way. He's saying that if you think about it, what the Yad's function is, right, is complete, or what the Yad is completely different than the Rosh. They're two different phenomena altogether, right? Yad is what's the Maisa there, tightening. Rosh is making the individual now adorned in tefillin. Okay. Okay, so now a lot of the other point that Rav makes also, and now we can put everything together, is that you can also argue that each tefillin has its own hanacha, right? There's a hanacha of Yad, and there's also a hanacha of Rosh, right? You are doing some type of hanacha, but at the same time, even when I do that hanacha, there's another thing that emerges from that, which is that by doing the hanacha of the Rosh, now what else happens as a result? I am now adorned in tefillin. Okay, taking all that into place. Now, let's move back into this, okay? What's the machlokas? Again, of yesterday, forget today. We'll get to today soon. Remember our variables. Our variables are, we want there to, on the one hand, to be two discrete aspects of tefillin, yad, and rosh. On the other end, we want to show they're connected to each other, right? How do we determine that? And I'll show you, Rashi and Tosfos are not that far apart. That's the objective. What's one of the objectives here? To show they're really much closer together than we think. Okay? And it's not contrived. And it's not one of the, whatever the words you used yesterday. What? That's my objective. All right. Is that clear? All right. So let's again. Tefillin Shel Yad, we'll take the Rav's idea, unique action of tightening. Tefillin Shel Rosh, which is the point I like to focus on most, is the adornment idea, the adorning of the person. All right. He's now adorned in tefillin. So what's the machlokas now? Obviously, you're making one good point. Rashi desperately wants there to be some type of connection. He's focusing more on the connection between Yad and Rosh. Agreed. Oh, see, now they start piping. Aren't you upset now? They all start piping up. Yes, or she was also emphasizing a point that we were talking about before. The Rashi and Tosfos themselves are almost inconsistent. Because sometimes Rashi says they're two separate things, two separate mitzvahs. Other times he says they're one mitzvah. And Rashi also. I think those variables, though, Rashi holds they're one. Right?
Right?
Well, of course he does, because Rashi says, is there a problem talking between Yad and Rosh? Is there a problem? Good. Now we're getting somewhere. So Sean wants to say that you're building off what Avi said. Sean wants to say that when I put on the Tefillin Shel Yad, right? So what's happening now, right? So I'm definitely doing a Maisa Hanacha. I'm putting Tefillin on my Yad. But the question is, am I starting the process? This is Rashi, right? Am I starting the process of adorning? Has a process of adorning now begun? Of right? Which eventually will be manifest and expressed in my Tefillin Shel Rosh, right? So you want there to be both a discrete action of placing, but at the same time, that's the haskalah, that's the beginning of a process of adorning, right? So therefore, now, if I talk in between my Yad and Rosh, what's the problem? Of adorning. Okay. What do you guys think about that? And then, one second, and then the brach would have to be, because? Okay. What all you guys are asking, Sean, I think, is you have to clarify what you mean by the process of adorning beginning when you put on your yad, right? That needs to be clarified. That's what's bothering you guys, okay? I understand. I got it. Right. Okay. Oh, sorry. Yes. Just about there. Let's get this as clear as possible. Good. I think this is a good team effort. Very impressive. Okay. So we know, I think everyone's starting off in the right spot, which is that I think everyone here, you have the right intuition in this area. Rashi must hold that, and the way Grossi's putting it, one party saying is very good. The bracha that I say, laniach, is actually doing two things, okay? One thing it's doing is that it's going on the strapping that's going on to my arm. I know you did. What? And the other one is, what? Yeah. And now, but it's also initiating something else. Okay, this is Rashi, right? That's Tosa. It's initiating something else, okay? Now you're initiating the beginning of what we'll call your adorning. You are just. It's an initiation, okay? Now watch. But the question that are bothering you guys is that if that's true, right? So what do we mean by the process, right? In other words, what does that therefore mean? There's no question. There's a process here. There's a process of adorning yourself in tefillin, which is the mitzvah that. When they use the term mitzvah as a whole, it's referring to the mitzvah that I must be one, a person who is adorned in tefillin. So when does that process start? It starts the moment I put my yad on. Okay? But what about the question from the corner over here? How would you answer it? Oh, come on. You can't give up that easily. Right? What's the issue of the process? Well, there's two ways we can understand what we mean, that the process starts when I put the yad on. Okay? Notice if you're talking... Yeah? What do you mean by discreet?
When you're putting this on, you're doing a process, and then when you're putting this on, you're doing a process, and there's nothing
in between. I don't know what that means. Why don't we shift the goalposts a bit and say that, in other words, there's two possibilities. If you say that the process begins, the moment the process begins in the tightening of the tefillin on my hands, I'm doing two things. I'm tightening it and initiating the process of adorning, then you run to that question you guys had. But what if Avi's right? What if that it's not that the initiation of the adorning takes place at the moment there's in the tightening of the tefillin shel yad? Rather, once I have my tefillin shel yad in place, now what happens? Okay, the requirement of adorning now kicks in. Okay, that's meaning that the rosh, right, the reality of the rosh of being the adorning is dependent on the yad being fixed into place. Now let's play. Let's play that out. Okay. Let's say that's true. So, if I interrupt, what have I now done? If I've interrupted, though, why?
Because you don't have to initial the beginning of the yad.
Okay. Again, so I lock my yad in place, right? Now, the moment I lock my yad in place, what now happens at that moment? The process has started. Now, if I talk, what now happens? Okay. Yes. We're left with two possibilities. This is like the point where now we have to make a decision. One possibility is that the adorning of the tefillin, that aspect of mitzvah, is dependent on me putting on the yad. Or it's that when I put on the yad, right, in putting on the yad, I'm now initiating the adornment process. You're going to have to go in one of those two directions. Yeah. Keep in mind what I said yesterday. The bracha of al mitzvah tefillin is not generated because I talked in between yad and rosh. That bracha was there all along. Yeah. It's lurking in the shadows, right?
I need to say, right. I've always needed to say, I meant it already when I said I'm a lahaniach.
Right. When I say lahaniach on yad, right? Well, again, what have I now done when I say my lahaniach on my yad? Again, going back to what you guys are saying, I've now initiated this, I've both done the maisa of putting on my yad, of a hanacha, right? Which, I think what Avi's saying is exactly correct. That hanacha also is connected to the hanacha of Rosh, right? Therefore, I wouldn't have to make hanacha on Rosh. And I've also done what? I've also now done, started the adornment, right? Now, you can't make two brachas. Again, you're not going to make two brachas on this one action. So what's now happened? In making lahaniach, there's no need to say al mitzvahs. It's not necessary at all, right? But if I talked in between, it's not that there's no problem talking. Rashi doesn't care if you talk in between. He doesn't care, okay? But if I do talk in between, what do I have to now do? Right, but again, it's not that now because I did that, a new bracha is coming to existence to say that didn't have to be said before. It's always there. It's always lurking. It's always wanting to be said. In truth, you want to say both brachas on lahaniach. It just would be superfluous, but you'd want to. You'd want to say both brachas on lahaniach tefillin. That's why it's not a bracha shana tzricha. Okay? Well, you flesh out Tosos. So I'll show you why that's the case. Okay? Okay. Yes. Using the Rav Svara, Tosos is very interesting because Tosos, and that's why he says Iker. That's why Tosos calls the Tefillin Shel Rosh Iker, right? What? Exactly, right. And, right, exactly. And you have this unique phenomenon that only exists in the domain of Tefillin Shel Rosh, right? So when I put my Tefillin Shel Yad, according to Tosos, that's nothing to do with adorning. There's no reality to adorning whatsoever. I've done a Maisa Hanacha, right? Look how close they are. They're very, very close together, insofar as positions are concerned, right? Right? Exactly. So that's why Tosos calls it, what he called, and that's why Rashi calls it Gemar Mitzvah. Why does Rashi say it's Gemar Mitzvah? Because it's the end of the mitzvah of adorning, okay? The Rambam's weird, because the Rambam openly says that they're two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Yad and a mitzvah of Rosh, right? You can't really say like Rashi, right? So what does the Rambam say?
You have to say that it's great.
Just say it. Okay. The Rambam holds two separate mitzvahs. Yeah. The mitzvah, they're both constructed as lahaniach, but understand it through two different prisms. The prism or the lens of the yad is simply a ma'aseh hanacha. Yeah. And the idea of Rosh is what?
The state
that Gavra has to be in.
Yeah.
It's similar, except for one problem. The problem is that he doesn't hold they're completely discrete from each other, because if he did, he'd hold, you have to make an al mitzvah on Rosh. He doesn't hold that. Okay?
No. He does hold it completely discrete, except...
But you don't make a separate...
I know. Exactly. They have...
But one second. Before, don't answer that yet. Hold on. Let's just get Tosos out of the way. Okay. For guys who aren't familiar, I mentioned a couple of guys who are preparing. What's a bracha shana tzricha? So I'll use the case that I've said to some guys, and then the case from Shabbos that's not a bracha shana tzricha. Okay. What's a bracha shana tzricha? An example. Example would be, if I go to a restaurant, okay, don't get me into trouble for this, okay? So you go to a restaurant, and let's say you're going to have a hamburger with a bun, okay? What bracha do you make on that? Hamotzi. And we know that when you make hamotzi, what does that do to other foods you eat afterwards, except for fruits? It includes them, right? So let's say I know I'm going to be having a hamburger, and then the waiter comes along and brings over some coleslaw. Okay, so now the problem is, if you make the bracha on the coleslaw, okay, knowing full well that I'm going to be having a motzi, that's a bracha shana tzricha. Okay, that's a bracha shana tzricha. We're all familiar. How many meals do you have to have on Shabbos? Three. Okay. This is one of those another one of those interesting misconceptions, okay? So there's a machlokas between the Bahag and Tosfos, okay, about the timing of those three meals. The Bahag holds, okay, the Baal Lachas Gedolos, so it's a go, and holds. The obligation is to have three meals on Shabbos. So when do I have to have those meals? I can have them one after the other. Okay, so Friday night, theoretically, I could have one after the other. Tosfos, and the way we paskin, is that no, they should be attached to the Azman, meaning there's night meal, okay, that's one. There's what he calls, or the Aruch HaShulchan says, Shachar's meal and Mincha meal. That leads to an interesting problem, the common occurrence in most modern Orthodox shuls, of the famous Kiddush you have in shul on Shabbos during the winter after Minyan. Why is that a problem? Okay. Because the problem is that you're supposed to eat your second meal on Shabbos before Chatzos. And what's going to happen? You don't. Right, you don't. Which if we postulate the Bahag, wouldn't be a problem. But it's interesting that we do paskin that way, and yet no one's machmir about it. Jay, no one cares, right? So when I was your age, and I was more of a kanai, so what I would do, I'd go to Kiddush, and I'd bring two rolls with me, and wash, you know, and show everyone all, you know, that. I'm making a motzi because you guys, you know. But today, the way around it is, I mean, if I'm invited to someone's bar mitzvah, so what I'll do is, I'll daven hanetz, shacharis, right? And then make a motzi, so I don't run into this problem of having to eat after chatzos. Okay, what's the point I'm trying to get at, though? It's interesting. The Rush had a cool way around the problem. What the Rush would do is, he would wash before chatzos. Okay, so let's say chatzos is at 12. He'd wash at 11:15. And let's say he had an elaborate meal, right? He'd have his appetizer and let's say half his main course, okay? Then he'd bench, okay? Go for, again, he hasn't finished his meal. Half his hamburger still on his plate. He'd bench, go for a walk, right? Daven mincha, and then come back, wash, right? And then finish the rest of his meal. Ah, why is it not bracha shena tzricha? Because this, exactly, even though it's part of the same culinary experience, halachically speaking, the chiv of shal shudas now came into existence, right? So it's not a bracha shena tzricha when you make some motzi again. Okay? Yeah, it's a funny way around the problem, right? Now, why is that? By the way, is it? No, it's a scam if you're a practical guy. If you're a conceptual guy, it's beautiful. One second, but why would he do that though? Because one of the problems that comes up, this is a serious problem. What do you guys do during the winter when it comes to shal shudas, okay? Because there's something called a... Okay, no, we'll get to that. The problem is like this. There's something called achilas gasa. Okay, achilas gasa means that if I'm really full, right? So the problem that happens a lot in New York during the winters is that when you're already eating your meal at 11:30 and you finish lunch at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and sunset's at 4:30, how are you going to be able to get in another meal between that 3 o'clock ending of your meal when you just had that big piece of cake, right? A long lunch. And Shalash says, how are you going to do that? But it's hard if it's achilas gasa. So the Russia solution is great. The Russia solution is, people freak out if you did this. I tried this before. All my halakhic theories, I experiment on modern Orthodox societies. So I've tried before, and like when I used to live in West Hempstead, inviting people over and saying, we're going to bench halfway through our lunch, right? And then we'll daven mincha and wash again. And the reaction almost always is either they're insulted, because it means I'm trying to kick them out, right? Or they don't know what I'm doing. And I try to explain to them, no, this way you can have your shalosh shudas also and not feel like you're full, you know? It didn't go over well. These things never seem to work well. Back to our point. That's bracha shena tzricha, okay? So putting Tosos makes sense. Tosos's position demands that he say that the aver is bracha shena tzricha. I mean, that is self-explanatory. Of course it's bracha shena tzricha. Because what am I had to make another lahaniach. But what's Rashi's position? Rashi's saying, it's a very hard way to learn the Gemara. I mean, not to bias you. Rashi's saying that what? It's an avera. But what's the avera? Not talking. Right? It's not talking because I'm allowed to talk between Tefillin Shabbos and Tefillin Rosh. The Avera would be what? What? Not, in other words, I would be over the Avera if I didn't make an Amitzah Tefillin. Understand? In other words, Rashi's learning the Gemara to mean that I'm over the Avera if I talk, right? And I then go ahead and not make the Amitzahs.
The Avera is like an Esra say. It basically nullifies your what you did with the Yad, no?
Okay, so. Okay, good. Okay. Right, so good. Agreed. Let's get even better. Going back, and what you're saying, and going back to what Grossi was saying before. Hold on, David. In other words, the question is, when I talk between my Yad and Rosh, at that moment, what has now taken place? What? Okay, you say bracha, but what on a more deeper level? David, yeah, David, what? Not to say the bracha, I'm chayev to say the bracha. Okay, so right, so Mordechai. So, again, good. Yeshua saying, also saying good. The point you have to define is what happens, according to Rashi, conceptually, when I talk between Yad and Rosh. What has now happened? You can't say that, though, because it's not an Avera. What's happened? That'd be the problem if I didn't say the bracha.
Yeah, but basically, my yad goes for both.
Not anymore, though.
Exactly. Now it doesn't go for both, it goes for one. Because I didn't make a half shake between my yad and my lanyah and my yad. My